Welcome back into another edition of the KSO Show. Mason Voth, Derek Young here with you from K-State Online, part of the On3 Network. You can find us over there. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us a lot. You can see, if you're watching us, the Twitter handles below our names, at The Real Mason V, at Derek Young KSO. And you can find DY everywhere. It's going to be Power Cat Game Day in it this year. He's going to be doing 3-ma again. And it just sounds like Cole and John have put more work on his plate with 3-ma. They're like, hey, we do the regular show. Let's do the Patreon as well. So just loads of stuff coming your way from the hardest working man in Manhattan, Kansas. And we'll preview the SEMO game now. Opening game of the season for the Wildcats. They've been really good under Chris Klieman against FCS opponents. They haven't really messed around too much with those. It's those pesky group of five schools you got to look out for and beat Chris Klieman. And SEMO kind of fits the bill of a lot of the other FCS schools that K-State has seen recently, where being in the Midwest, that's where a lot of these good FCS programs are. And K-State isn't scheduling like West Virginia, terrible FCS schools that they beat like 90-0. K-State's scheduling schools that are like number three in FCS and in the final four every year of the FCS playoffs. Really no different than SEMO. They were a playoff team a year ago. I think final record was 9-3. One of those losses was at Iowa State last year. A couple of things to get to with that, and we'll just start off the top. Offense is what is key. It is the sexiest thing on the football field because that's how you get points. What do you think will work on offense this week for the Wildcats against SEMO, where a lot could work because it's, you know, theoretically an inferior opponent?
Yeah, I think just about anything should work. I would be probably concerned if it didn't. Especially with the weapons that you have, what you have coming back. But if I was going to pick just any one certain thing, it's probably the running game. Now, I hope that they just don't say, let's run the ball 100 times and get through this game, because we could do that and probably win 60-0. I hope that's not the case, because I'd like to see other elements. But if there's an angle where Kansas State should be the most dominant and should have probably – the most ease, it's with that bully of an offensive line that they have back that has a ton of starts already in their lap, a ton of experience, a ton of cohesion, a ton of chemistry. And then you got two great backs behind him, and DJ Giddens and Trayshawn Ward. And you should be able to, with experience, size, and just caliber of play and athletes, overwhelm SEMO with that element, with Ward, Giddens, and the offensive line.
My pick on offense this week, I would say Will Howard. Like, this is a game where he should shine in, you know, FCS team, big-time quarterback like Will Howard proved he was last year, throwing it all over the place. But because there's a little bit of unknown with the wide receiver position, I'll play it a little bit safer. I'll just say the Ben Sinnott-Will Howard connection is what I think is probably going to work the best this week, where you're going to have two guys that are obviously very comfortable with each other. And I think that Colin Klein will be able to get them in a position to expose some weaknesses and some giant holes in the SEMO defense. And we'll probably see a pretty significant hookup between Howard and Sinnott all season long. But I think in this game in particular, we're bound to have a couple plays where Ben Sinnott's just camped out wide open in the middle of the field. Nobody's around him. And Will Howard zips one in there. So that's probably where I'm going to lean my confidence level in the offense for this coming week. Concern-wise, it's probably pretty easy to tell what my offensive concern is. I'm going to guess it's probably yours too, because we know quite a bit about everything else. We know Will Howard. We know the offensive line. We know the running back should be pretty good. It's got to be at the receiver position, just because there are two unknowns that are in the top three of the depth chart right there with Keegan Johnson and RJ Garcia. Both guys have high upside, could do some really awesome things for K-State this week. But until we see it on the field, I can't put my full faith into it.
Yeah, that's understandable. Mine's along those lines, but it's not like a concern with any personnel, so to speak. The element where I think they could get themselves into trouble this week when playing SEMO. SEMO's probably best defensive player is the safety, Lawrence Johnson. I mean, he's a stud. He could play on a lot of teams, not just at the FCS level, but the FBS level. That's one guy where I think you could take him off the field, or you could point him out on the field and be like, you know, that's not an FCS player, even though he's on an FCS team. And, you know, if you give him an opportunity, if you're trying to do too much, which I think could be easy to do in game one, where you got all those nerves and anxiety from having to wait an entire off season. You just want to go unleash that ball, right? And you just want to, you know, make a touchdown on every play right away in every form. And don't take what the defense gives you at all times. He could probably make it hurt at least early. So I think if there was any concern, I don't really have one, but if I wanted to create one in my head, it would be that they have a really good safety, Simo does, and Lawrence Johnson. And if you're trying to do too much or maybe make an inappropriate gamble, I think he can make it cost you.
You're probably right on that. And I'm going to be – you talked about gambles. That's probably the one area of Will Howard's game this year that I'm most intrigued by, because last year he did take, you know, what – if you look at him, you'd say that's probably a gamble, and they mostly paid off for him. I'm interested if with a new crop of receivers and just, you know, maybe luck doesn't go his way, if we see a couple of those, you know, 50-50 type plays that he's tried to make before, maybe not work out in his favor. So it might be a little bit worrisome that, you know, if Simo has a playmaker that can make you pay on a couple of gambles, you may be alert of that. But this is a game where the offense should really shine through and really prove themselves. On the other side of the ball, the defense, a lot more question marks for the defense going into this season, especially when you consider now to start the year up front. Uso Sayamalo was supposed to be a pretty big piece. Little bit of an injury concern. Daniel Green, same type of thing at linebacker. And then we know in the secondary that it's just question marks galore about new guys working in, guys switching positions, guys moving up. Concern that you might have for this upcoming game for the Wildcats.
Concern-wise, I would just be a little worried about, you know, what Kansas State can do against the pass, because Simo has a returning starter at quarterback in De Laurent. And as you said, no returning starts at corner for Kansas State. And then at the same time, you're breaking in four new starters total in the secondary, because there's two other safeties that aren't full-time starters. VJ Payne has started some games before, but not necessarily all of them, right? He was four games last year, I believe, even though he did start the season opener. So you have a lot of new bodies in the secondary, and you're trying to rush the passer without Felix Ndike Uzomah for the first time as well. So my concern for the Kansas State defense out of the gate in game one, especially against a team that will have a returning starter quarterback, will be how they defend the pass, especially since I think I remember one of the questions or one of the answers from defensive line coach Buddy Wyatt when we spoke to him during training camp at one point was that he believed – when I asked him where this defense can be better this year than maybe it was last year, a lot of the players said, we'll probably have more team speed on defense. Buddy Wyatt just thought this team would be better against the running game.
I would like to be different on this, or at least attempt to, but I think it would be a little bit silly of me for week one to overthink this, because a lot of the other guys that are on the defense, even though that there may be, you know, some question marks, you look around, they're proven. They're guys that I think we should be pretty confident will go in and get the job done. Like the pass rushers, you don't have Felix Ndike Uzomah, but Brendan Mott proved that he was more than worthy last year. Khalid Duke has proven it in the past. Nate Matlack, there's promise and hope there. There are a lot of guys that can make things happen. And linebacker, I mean, you may be with an ailed Daniel Green or, you know, limited time for him, but there are so many guys that this staff is so excited about at linebacker that I'm also excited to see that I'm not going to totally worry about that. So I'll side with you. It comes in the secondary, just waiting to see how K-State is able to defend the pass. And like you said, against a quarterback that is experienced, and it doesn't matter what level you play, as long as you have an experienced quarterback, they're going to know what they can make happen. So this is going to be a good way to start the season and kind of get your toes wet if you're the K-State secondary.
And another area would be to maintain health for the rest of the year, just because
yes,
you do have a couple of those important players like Dino Green and Uso Sayamalo who may not be at 100%.
Yeah, I mean, health is another massive one this week, especially just considering, you know, we've talked about it already this year, but this is going to be a different Missouri team this non-conference than the last one. It's a road trip. It's just important to have guys healthy for the entirety of the season, but you don't want to lose one of these games in the first three that you should win regardless of the circumstance, but will be maybe a little bit trickier than some people would seem to think. All right, we'll move off.
Yeah, you don't want to take the air out of that balloon before we even get to the league play, which has kind of happened in past years. Yeah. But like, and Mizzou's going to be pissed off. You're going to face a pissed off football team.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's a team that probably all year in the offseason has, you know, realized like, hey, if we want to reach a certain level of wins this year, we may not be able to do it with some of the teams that we'll have to play in the SEC. But K-State's one that we'd like to get back because, I mean, obviously they were a little embarrassed and hurt feelings by that with the late touchdown and timeouts that Eli Drinkwitz had to call last year. So I'm sure he'll want more than just a couple of garbage time scores in 2023.
And Kansas State kind of rubbed their nose into it afterwards. So,
yes, absolutely. So we'll see kind of what ends up coming out of that. Now we'll go and be a little bit more positive here. What is a thing or two that you expect to work for the defense? Or, you know, I'll change it up a little bit here because this is kind of how I'm going to take the question. Somebody that you're really excited to see hit the field for the first time this season.
Yeah, you're thinking along the same lines as me. Because I don't know what'll really work. Maybe stopping the run because I'm just worried about more of about the pass in his game. But more than anything, it's about seeing those cornerbacks for the first time because you're returning zero starts. You can make an argument it could be Jacob Parrish. He's going to start because everybody loves him up in the. I mean, if you believe the coaches, and I do, especially on this front. I mean, Jacob Parrish might have been the best player on the Kansas State roster throughout the training camp, but. Will Lee is probably really the most intriguing as well, just because, I mean, it's obvious to do this just because of the physical profile, but you're kind of, we'll see if the skill set and all the other things kind of align as well. But just when you look at them side by side, he's like a Julius Brents clone, right? He's huge. He's fast. He's long. You need that on the perimeter. He gives you that. And the fact that he arrived at spring ball like halfway through and it seemed like it was an uphill climb because of that. I mean, it seems like he's come a long way for him to just kind of grab this starting job going away, much the same way that we've seen Jacob Parrish do, Desmond Purnell do, trying to think of some other guys that Brendan Mott, right, as well. And he probably doesn't get enough credit for what he did last year and what he can provide Kansas State as well. I really like what he can do. But that corner, yeah, that's probably where I want to see the most because, man, just the way they talk about him and what we know about Will Lee being close to Julius Brents, at least from a physical profile, I think I want to see that just because I also tend to think you're going to see some growing pains also. I mean, zero career starts is kind of a thing, especially when the Big 12 typically, and we'll see if it plays out this way. Big 12 typically has some really, really good wide receivers and teams that really want to throw the ball like 50 times a game. Luckily for Kansas State, with those new cornerbacks that they're breaking in for the first time, the biggest challenge in that regard is probably Texas, and they won't have to play them until much later in the year. So you get a little bit of a reprieve from the Longhorns that probably can challenge you the most vertically, or at least challenge your cornerbacks the most, stress them the most. But I wouldn't sleep on Missouri in that way. They can really do that as well if they have a quarterback that can deliver the ball.
Yeah. If they have a quarterback that's not, you know, three straight drives throwing it into the hands of Kobe Savage and whoever else is back there. I'm with you. Like, I don't know if it's going to work. Obviously, it's a big question mark. But I am intrigued to see what the rotation of guys at corner looks like and what we see out of some of them. Because Jacob Parrish is the guy that I think has probably had, you know, the most positive buzz by, you know, grabbing the job and getting it. And then Will Lee is a guy that he profiles to be like the next big important transfer addition to the secondary that Chris Klieman has made. Every single year that Chris Klieman's been here, they've brought somebody in that has made an impact in their secondary and sometimes multiple guys. And that may be the case this year. Will Lee could be that guy. And then, I mean, this is just, I'm so fascinated because of the storyline and how it's all come about. But seeing what Keenan Garber actually looks like at that position with legitimate reps and, you know, time to develop at that position, I find to be really fascinating. So when he is on the field, I'm going to be interested to see how he is trying to make plays for K-State. And not like, you know, your typical playmaking type plays. I just want to see, like, if there's a simple pass there that he can defend, how does he defend it? If there's a guy in open space that he is having to try and bring down, how does he make a tackle? Like, I'm just really intrigued for all these different reasons for all of these guys that are going to be in position to play on Saturday and for the rest of the season for K-State at that position.
As you said, the secondary as a whole, I mean, even to see if Kobe Savage is still like that nightmare in the back end, has he lost half a step? I don't think so. Most guys do, but he's also built a little differently between the years. He's a dog.
Yeah, I mean, that's one positive is that a guy like Kobe Savage, even if there is still a little bit of like physical traits that have to be built back up mentally and the way that he plays the game, he can make more than make up for it. So we'll see how it looks. I mean, a lot of questions there. And you know, it's because there are these newcomers, but then you just point out like the number one guy returning, kind of like the heart and soul of this defense at one point last year, he's having to come back from an injury that was pretty significant. So we'll see how that ends up working out. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the best bets portion of this. Now, look, FCS school, we're not getting anything put out by the actual books right now, but I've got a couple of my own that I will throw your way real quick because I'm interested in this. And I told you beforehand, Will Howard, I have been saying all offseason long, he is going to break the K-State single-season touchdown passes record. I need him to pad his stats against an FCS school. So over or under 3.5 passing touchdowns for Will Howard on Saturday against SEMO?
Yeah, these are good ones. See, one of my things, it probably different. We'll see if it's part of your over-unders. Is that I think Kansas State gets 50 plus points on Saturday. So we're talking 7 or 8 touchdowns. Like, and I really think that they're going to run the crap out of the ball too. So 3.5 is probably right at the line of demarcation for me. So your total is really good on that front. I will go under because I think there's going to be a good share of running touchdowns, and I don't see them playing 4 full quarters. And I think if they are scoring 7 or 8 touchdowns, which is my expectation, I think you could see Jake Rubley or Avery Johnson being responsible for one of those as well. So I will go under. I think it's probably right at 3. I know that's not good for your, you know, the stat pattern, but you have to remember, I mean, the single season record is only 20 something. This is not a shot at Kansas State, but that is a very underwhelming single season touchdown record.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the point. It's like a couple of years ago when like Mike Moustakas broke the Royals single season home run records and all he had to do was hit like 36 of them. It's since been up by that. Jorge Soler and Salvador Perez have hit 48 now. So the Royals were like one of the last teams to never have somebody hit 40 home runs in a season. They finally had that happen a couple times. I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. Like I want that because I want my prediction to be right, but it's probably under just because there are so many unknowns, because essentially that means Will Howard basically in the first half has to come out there and throw 4 touchdown passes because he's probably only going to play up to the fourth quarter. And there will be a lot of running using DJ Ginns and Trayshawn Ward. And like you said, Avery Johnson and Jake Rubley will get in there. Maybe another good question then is does Avery Johnson score a touchdown of any kind in this game on Saturday? Put your feet to the fire there because we know he's going to play as long as the score dictates it. But to what extent do we get to see his ability?
I will say no. I want to say yes, but I'm going to say no. Just, you know, here's my thing. I think actually it's probably yes, but I also think that's going to cause undue pressure on multiple people there. So it's like, is that really the best case scenario? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, probably the hope is there, and maybe he can throw the ball a little bit, but maybe worst case scenario for the hype train is if he gets in there and he's able to unleash a pass and he hits like a big one or something. Or heck, I even remember the like little 7-yard dart that Will Howard threw to Jack Stineen for his first pass against Arkansas State. I was like, oh crap, this guy, he might be something. And then, you know, I kind of turned on him there for a little bit, but I'm back on board for all of that. I think he does. Now, I was wildly wrong about this because another game last year where I said oh, this guy is undoubtedly scoring a touchdown. I thought it was a lock that Adrian Martinez was going to get to run in a touchdown in the Alabama Sugar Bowl. Like, I just thought he's back. They're letting him out there. Like, we're going to see him more. They're going to get into the red zone and use his legs. And they really didn't use him that much. So I was wildly wrong last year. I probably will be this year, but I'll say it for the heck of it. And because I can see the image in my head, you know, it's pitch blackout. It's, you know, fourth quarter, 3.5 minutes left. They're at like the 8-yard line and just a little option. And the Golden Locks pull the ball from the running back and Avery scampers into the end zone for the touchdown. So I'll say, yes, we get an Avery Johnson touchdown this weekend.
Man, if we get a 50 plus yard Avery Johnson touchdown, that'll be the only thing that is discussed for the next week in Kansas State fan land. Cause that mean,
might storm then, the field.
Yeah, the crowd pop, the loudest crowd pop on Saturday is when Avery Johnson goes in.
Yes.
I mean, that's a lock at this point. You talk about things that we were terribly wrong on last year, and you could go look at the season preview pod last year. We did over unders on 3 Mile, Cole, John, and I, and we said the absolute lock of the year. Now, we didn't say it like that, but we were the most convinced of all the over unders that RJ Garcia was going to have like 400 receiving yards. And then obviously, he didn't. I don't know if he had 100. So there's going to be things that were terribly wrong on, I guess is what I'm saying. But secondly, I do think RJ Garcia maybe get close to that this year, since he is, an unquestioned starting wide receiver amongst the three. It'll be interesting to see how his season goes. There's only going to be so many touches and yards in production that can kind of go around. Phillip Brooks is kind of the steady Eddie guy. I think Keegan Johnson could maybe surpass what Malik Knowles did last year. And I say that, people are like, Malik Knowles? I mean, you know, there are a lot of times throughout his career where he makes you pull your hair out. That's Malik Knowles. And especially during the Iowa State game when he fumbled at the 1-yard line, right? I mean, that was probably the one moment that everyone will take away from. But quietly, I mean, I think he had north of 600, maybe north of 700 yards last year. So, still had a pretty good season. I think Keegan Johnson, that would be one of my bold predictions I wanted to mention. It's like, it would not shock me. Now, we'll see what the clock rules do, because it seems like games are a little bit shorter, maybe a possession less here and there. It would not shock me if we see Keegan Johnson get 1,000 yards receiving this year.
Malik Knowles, 725 yards last season. So, yeah, I mean, he was really good last year. The touchdowns were the least of his career, tied with his first season at K-State. But everything else was basically what people had been wanting and expecting from Malik Knowles for most of his career. So it worked out really well. I've got a couple of other quick ones here that I've thrown together. These more have to do with either what we saw last year or just kind of K-State, you know, history. Does it take over under 1.5 plays for a touchdown, the first touchdown offensively for K-State this year? The under hit last year, Malik Knowles, play number one. Does the first play go for a touchdown this year for K-State?
I will say no, because doing that 2 years in a row seems like you're hitting the lottery. What I will say is Colin Klein kind of strikes me as the kind of guy that he's like calm, cool, collected, very reserved when you interview him, when you talk to him, like the kindest guy you'll ever meet in your entire life. Like, I'll probably never meet someone kinder than Colin Klein. And I would imagine that everyone that comes into contact with him believes and would echo the same thing. But like, underneath all that is a cold-blooded killer when it comes to football. And he's aggressive and he likes to go for the kill. So it would not shock me that we see like a shot play or two in those first three or four.
Last one then for me here that I got for you. Obviously, it's over my answer that one. I don't think we see the first play, but I could see it being like a 3 or 4 play drive where there's a big play that sets it up early. The next one, do we see a special teams or defensive touchdown in the game for K-State? I can't remember exactly how many there were last season, but obviously it was the second game of the year that Phillip Brooks took a punt back for a touchdown. So what do you say? Do we see a special teams or defensive touchdown on Saturday?
Yeah, and that made me remember, and I think it was the first game, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. But everyone's favorite player, Jonathan Alexander, I think had a touchdown in the first game of the season on special teams off a blocked punt. I want to.
Yes, I think you're right.
So they tend to kind of do that. Look, and one of those guys that has blocked a punt already is Seth Porter. And I don't know how much special teams he's going to play. He might be the most valuable special teams player on the entire team. People remember, and I brought this up on the 3-Mile podcast earlier. I think it's on the preview podcast, but like the one play that everyone forgets is that play where Seth Porter downed the punt in the Big 12 championship game inside the 5-yard line. So TCU didn't even try to score on the final possession and was just happy to go into overtime. Like TCU and the way Max Duggan was going, like they could have gotten field goal range. There was enough time there. Yep. So Seth Porter is very valuable. I will actually say, yes, they do. I don't know if it's a defensive touchdown just because I think there are some kinks to work out there. Although if they are as fast as a defense as they are vowing that they are, usually fast defenses are the ones that wreak the most havoc and can cause the most turnovers. So maybe that's an element that even though this defense is probably worse in areas than last year's, maybe that's the one where they can be better. They did force a lot of turnovers already last year, though. I'll say, because you say it's special teams or defensive touchdown, I'll say yes. I kind of lean towards special teams, though.
Mm-hmm. They did have one last year in the opener, second touchdown of the year. I think it was a Seth Porter block that led to Desmond Purnell, who had a touchdown against South Dakota. So they've done it before. It happens plenty of times. Malik Knowles maybe took a kickback for a touchdown in one of the first games of a season a couple of years ago. So I think it probably does happen. I think that they expose it. And I think it does come on special teams where that's typically where you can really – I mean, offense, defense, you'll see differences. But last year it was pretty apparent that South Dakota was not going to be any match for K-State's special teams. And I think we see something similar to that this year with this game. Do you have any other bold predictions or best bets that you want to throw out there before we move on to kind of our final predictions for the game on Saturday?
Yeah, I already threw out Keegan Johnson, 1,000 receiving yards for the season. I bet he gets 100 yards receiving on Saturday, too. I think he gets it started off right. He's too good for that not to happen. And I don't think he gets game planned away or schemed away out of the gate. So that might open up other opportunities for him if he's really what we think he's going to be. I'm trying to think defensively if there's anything bold to kind of say. I wouldn't say bold, but I will feel thrilled if they hold SEMA to less than 20 points. My prediction, final score, I know we were probably going to say that, so I'll just kind of step in and go for it now, is 52-20 Kansas State. I think they get their 50 points that they've been talking about all season. They'd like to get there's a big 50 benchmark because I think they got real close to that several times last year or a few different times anyway. So I think they get their 50, but I think growing pains on defense, I think, is going to be the story throughout some of the non-conference.
That was one of the tough things for me was, earlier this week, the first thing that I did for K-State Online was my game-by-game predictions. I picked 44-13 as a score for this game. I'm with you, the defense being broken in. Maybe SEMO sneaks a couple more points past the goalie than what you would be accustomed to in this game. But I think K-State's offense will be right, and I do think eventually there's enough talent overwhelming SEMO there that K-State's able to put them away comfortably. So I'll stick to my 44-13. I mean, offensively, I've got to roll with Will Howard for a big game because, that's my prediction for the year. I'll say it again and again. He's going to break the very minuscule single-season touchdowns record for K-State. It was funny last week as I was – watching USC flirt around with danger with San Jose State for a half, and they show Caleb Williams' numbers and how many touchdowns he threw last season, and you think that is double the best in K-State football history, basically, with what he's done. So I'm interested in Will Howard. And then defensively, we talked a lot about the secondary and those guys, but for somebody that I think is going to come out and play a really good game for K-State – my bet would go on to Kobe Savage just because he's going to have so much energy and emotion to be back out onto the field and be ready to go. And again, it's these FCS opponents you can kind of pick on a little bit. So I think that, defensively he would be my go-to guy there. And That's how I see it playing out, but should be a pretty comfortable win for the Wildcats.
Offensively, if we're basically like an MVP portion, I like what you did there. I will go. Now, I say Keegan Johnson's going to have that big game with 100 receiving yards, but I think running the ball is probably where the biggest mark goes. And I think Trayshawn Ward really gets going this year, but maybe not right out of the gate because he's the newest to the system.
Yeah.
And DJ Giddens is just can be really overwhelming to basically an FCS size defense, I think. So I'll say, if you're asking me MVP stuff here, player of the game stuff, I'll say DJ Giddens on offense. I think he can explode on Saturday. Defensively, give me Austin Moore because I think there's a chance he's the best defensive player on the team.
I'd agree with that. I think it, by the end of the year, we're going to look at Austin Moore as that guy for this team. And like, that's one of those things that I kind of laughed at last year when they referred to him as the machine and all this. You're like, Austin Moore, really? But I mean, he proved it very quickly. Like, he was just everywhere. The ball was there. Austin Moore was there, and he was helping him make stops and make plays.
Another guy like, you know, with like Will Howard, Brandon Mott, when they initially kind of got out there or got their chance last year, that people kind of scoffed at and then quickly proved that he belonged. So, you know, if you want another bold prediction, like I think people would say, oh, Daniel Green, all Big 12 first team. Nothing gets Daniel Green. He's really good. He could do it too.
Yeah.
If I wanted to make a bold prediction, Austin Moore, all Big 12 first team linebacker this year.
Well, everybody book it and cook it. Get your final wagers in there. Everything DY said is gospel. It will happen this weekend. And we'll be hopefully recapping a big K-State win because we want to talk about we know about the guys that we know about. We know about Will Howard. We know about DJ Giddens. We know about all these guys that we can see in a good close game. We're really wanting to look at and talk about the guys that get to get in when it is 50 to 20 or whatever. And we're seeing Avery Johnson or Jake Rubley out there. So we'll have a full recap and everything on Saturday after the game. Great content up on K-State Online and then plenty of digital content to follow up as well. But that'll do it for DY and I for this edition of the KSO Show, previewing the season opener with SEMO. We'll be back. Keep following on K-State Online all season.